This is another edition of Get Lit with Literature. This is Monk, and this is a tribute to the journalist, filmmaker, and author John Pilger, who recently passed away after an amazing career. Much praise for being a family man and a wonderful father. I was very saddened, as many across the world. It happens to me especially when because I work at home and a lot and follow writers online, and I read them for many, many years. So they become sort of like uncles in a way to me personally. John Pilger, I'll just say a little bit of my personal view, and then I'll read some background and some quotes and tributes, because a lot of people probably don't know of him because he was not the opposite of corporate news. He was excellent writer. His articles, I mostly over the years read his articles and watched interviews, and his articles just always got me. It would be a topic where I maybe had read 10 articles and I thought, oh, I know the topic, but I'll read Pilger's article anyway. And just the way he strung it all together, simple writing style, yet he knew how to pack a wallop, always with an insight, always with a good quote, the facts and more facts, and a compassion for people and the world, just understanding of the injustices and all that. And in interviews, his wonderful Australian accent, he was graceful and soft spoken, and yet he was tough as nails, as a lot of the quotes show. So I recommend checking out some of his works. I have not, I maybe watched one of the documentaries. I think The War You Don't See is the one I watched. But he produced over like 55 documentaries and a bunch of books. Little bit of background on Wikipedia. He was an Australian journalist, investigative journalist, really, writer, scholar, and documentary filmmaker. He was a critic. This is why you wouldn't have heard of him, because he was, if you haven't, a critic of American, Australian, and British foreign policy, which he considered to be driven by an imperialist and colonialist agenda. So he was much akin to Andrei Vlechek, another investigative journalist who passed away a few years ago. Pilger criticized his native country's treatment of indigenous Australians. He first drew international attention for his reports on the Cambodian genocide. And he reported about Timor. And films on indigenous Australians include The Secret Country, 1985, and Utopia, 2013. He worked at the Daily Mirror from 1963 to 86, wrote a regular column for the New Statesman from 1991 to 2014. He was just cranking it out his whole career. And I watched some video or some movie I watched when he was much younger, and he was something to do with the children. He was talking with the children or helping the children, and I could just see his gentleness and compassion from way back when. So there's more info about him: newspaper, television, documentary. Pilger long criticized aspects of Australian government policy, particularly what he regarded as an inherent racism resulting in the poor treatment of Indigenous Australians. Pilger wrote in 2000 that the 1998 legislation that removed the common law rights of Indigenous peoples is just one of the disgraces that has given Australia the distinctions of being the only developed country whose government has been condemned as racist by the United Nations Committee on the Elimination of Racial Discrimination. But also, as with the shown with the doctrine of Christian discovery and domination, there, I don't know in that particular case, but looking past the racism to the religiosity is important. He was outspoken about Palestine. He was a major supporter and became a friend of Julian Assange. And to show his outspokenness, Pilger criticized Barack Obama during his presidential campaign of 2008, saying he was a quote, a glossy Uncle Tom who would bomb Pakistan, end quote. And his theme, quote, was the renewal of America as a dominant, avaricious bully, end quote. After Obama was elected and took office in 2009, Pilger wrote, in his first 100 days, Obama has excused torture, opposed habeas corpus, and demanded more secret government. So he had, you know, he had his info and his commentary and his pulse on the on what was really, what was going on in the world. And he's just, you know, one of the few few journalists I've read over 20-something years where just, you know, I think the words compassion, integrity, honesty, style, grace, although just so many more adjectives I could put on there. And here's a tribute to Pilger, arguably giving him the best homage it could render. The British Television Authority described him as a threat to Western civilization. And Pilger on foreign policy seldom used the almost respectable term U.S. foreign policy. U.S. designs for the world is the correct term, surely. These designs have been running along a straight line since 1944, when the Bretton Woods Conference ordained the U.S. as the number one imperial power. That line has known occasional interruptions, such as the retreat from Saigon and the triumph of the Sandinistas, but the designs have never changed. They are to dominate humanity. So he was on to that whole thing about the system of domination. The only thing I would add, although in the current history, the straight line from 1944 with Bretton Woods, I would add that more like 1444 with the Papal Bulls, even though they might have been a few years after that. And here's Stella Assange, Julian's wife, a consistent ally of the dispossessed. John dedicated his life to telling their stories and awoke the world to the greatest injustices. He showed great empathy for the weak and was unflinching with the powerful. John was one of Julian's most vocal champions, but they also became the closest of friends. He fought for Julian's freedom until the end. We are all Spartacus if we want to be, he wrote in his last published piece. She noted, this was John challenging us until the end. Let's always seek to rise to the challenge. Thank you, dear friend. So that was, yeah, that was an article, I think, in August, referring to the Roman slave. If you've seen that classic movie, Spartacus, where they all start saying, I am Spartacus. So, yeah, that to me, my comment on that would be, we are all Spartacus. We are all slaves in this system. I don't care how liberated you are, how free your consciousness is, how enlightened you are. If you have to work a job to pay the bill, to pay the taxes, to pay for your driver's license, all these kinds of things that the system just nickel and dimes, then part of your time, part of your day is a slave to the system. So we are all Spartacus, and we do what we choose to do. Australian journalist Peter Cronow proclaimed, a giant of journalism has left us. John Pilger, a heroic truth-teller, banned by much of the mainstream media, his amazing work is his great permanent legacy. Cronow praised him for calling to account the intelligence agencies, the generals, and the governments alike that run the world their way, while also giving voice to the unheard, the indigenous, the poor, the occupied, the displaced, and giving hope, courage, and solidarity to the international family of activists. Pilger was such a strong role model to so many journalists, especially in Australia, a country he loved, but whose media shunned him for his relentless, uncompromising stand against imperialism and Australia's slavish obedience to it. Telling the seldom heard people's history, much like Howard Zinn, his books and films inform our democracy, and it was a pleasure to have had the chance to have worked with him. British journalist Jonathan Cook said, Pilger was an inspiration to young journalists like myself. For decades, he managed to publish searing reports, even in establishment media, that exposed the lies justifying the brutalities of Western foreign policy. We need his voice now more than ever. And Mark Curtis, co-director and co-founder of Declassified UK, said, I cannot believe John has gone. His lifetime's work is a treasure. Look at his filmography and articles to remind yourself. And I tip my hat to Mark Curtis because his book, Secret Affairs, Britain's Collusion with Radical Islam, clearly showed me the whole, British and U.S. going after the terrorists and all that. But as the subtitle said, the collusion with Radical Islam, that the whole global war of terror is just one of the biggest scams ever. Trillions of dollars spent, millions of people killed, all because of supposedly fighting terrorism. So I tip my hat to Mark Curtis. And I'll just kind of wrap up with, I could go on and on, but I'm not sure where to tell you to suggest to start. You can check out his articles online. I don't know how timely, relevant they are, but certainly I would think they have some relevance. And if you're interested in the skill and the quality of writing articles, study his articles in that case. Otherwise, the books and the documentaries. And here's an article at Dissident Voice that has some of Pilger's quotes, so that seems a fitting place to wrap up. On making a difference, the aim of good journalism is or ought to be to give people the power of information, without which they cannot claim certain freedoms. It's as straightforward as that. Now and then you do see the effects of a particular documentary or series of reports. In Cambodia, more than $50 million were given by the public entirely unsolicited following my first film, and my colleagues and I were able to use this to buy medical supplies, food, and clothing. Several governments changed their policies as a result. Something similar happened following the showing of my documentary on East Timor, filmed most of it in secret. Did it affect the situation in East Timor? No, but it did contribute to the long years of tireless work by people all over the world. On social media, ironically, they can separate us even further from each other, enclose us in a bubble world of smartphones and fragmented information and magpie commentary. Thinking is more fun, I think. On the economy, with every administration, it seems the aims are spun further into the realm of fantasy while becoming more and more extreme. Bill Clinton, still known by the terminally naive as a progressive, actually upped the ante on the Reagan administration with the iniquities of NAFTA and assorted killing around the world. What is especially dangerous today is that the U.S.'s willfully and criminally collapsed economy collapsed for ordinary people. That's in parentheses, and the unchallenged preeminence of the parasitical defense industries have followed a familiar logic that leads to greater militarism, bloodshed, and economic hardship. So that's a perfect example to me of how his writing style is just simple, straightforward, but just masterfully crafted. Nothing fancy, but he gets to it. Wonderful phrase, the terminally naive. And then he pulls no punches, that the iniquities of NAFTA and assorted killing around the world, especially dangerous. And then he shows the balance of the criminally collapsed economy, quote, in parentheses, collapsed for ordinary people. So he saw through the layers and the parasitical defense industries. On peace activism, the current spoiling for a fight with China is a symptom of this, as is the invasion of Africa. I find it remarkable that I have lived my life without having been blown to bits in a nuclear holocaust ignited by Washington. What this tells me is that popular resistance across the rest of the world is potent and much feared by the bully. Look at the hysterical pursuit of WikiLeaks. Or if not feared, it's disorientating for the master. That's why those of us who regard peace as a normal state of human affairs are in for a long haul, and faltering along the way is not an option, really. So that shows his prime directive there, the long haul and faltering is not an option. On the future, he said, I'm confident if we remain silent while the U.S. war state, now rampant, continues on its bloody path, we bequeath to our children and grandchildren a world with an apocalyptic climate, broken dreams of a better life for all, and as the unlamented General Petraeus put it, a state of perpetual war. Do we accept that, or do we fight back? And then I'll just wrap it up with, on his website, the header has a quote, "It is not enough for journalists to see themselves as mere messengers. without understanding the hidden agendas of the messages and myths that surround it. So thank you, John Pilger, for all your good works, and may you travel well to the spirit world, and may many of us carry the torch. Thanks for listening. Be well.